Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. This past Tuesday, we hosted Pastor's Day here on campus, and this is a day where Indiana Bible College honors the special role of a pastor in the lives of our students. Over 100 pastors and their wives joined us from all over the world right here in Indianapolis to attend classes, a chapel service, and a special banquet in honor of that role that they play. The chapel service was preached, of course, by our pastor, Reverend Paul D. Mooney, and that's the message that we're going to bring to you today. We hope you enjoy this special Pastor's Day message, a message entitled, Small Things.
Thank you very much. Clap your hands to the Lord. God bless you. Make a little noise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is great to be in God's house, and thank you very, very much for the very nice, introduction, I guess. A little introduction. Thank you very much. And let me add to all the expressions that have been made, thank you, pastors, for being here. We're so very thankful, and we need your prayers and need your support. And we're appreciative of the fact that you are working together with us to try to strengthen the faith and to help engage young people in facing one of the most interesting times in the whole human civilization ever from the beginning. This is really the day that is so very vital. And I believe God's going to raise up some great preachers. God's going to raise up some great musicians. God's going to do great things in these last days, and we're preparing for it. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. They did tell me there was a time. I forgot what it was, so I just let it go. And who are you anyway? How important are you? How important are any of us? Do we really matter? You think about the billions of people that are on this earth and the nations and all the different beliefs and ideas and concepts, and how can we possibly make any difference in this world? And look at us. We're just kind of ordinary people. And the doubt sometimes that we have about ourselves. Many of you in this place and the students have a calling. And some of the pastors, all of us probably, can go back when we were in those infant moments of the callings that were on our lives, and yet we were not sure that we could really make it. And maybe we've even been on the journey for a while and we think, I don't know. I haven't accomplished very much. It seems like I just can't break out. And so I want to deal with that. I want to deal with that today, because it's very easy for us to think that we are alone, but God is with us. Now, we need to get our egos set aside, because we can't do anything by our own strength, by our own intellect, by our so-called talents, but we can sure do a lot if we let the Lord touch us and come into our lives. My wife and I were up in northern Michigan, and we decided that, we had a day, it was been several years ago, wasn't much going on, and so we got into stopping at little flea markets and people that, yard sales. Does anybody like yard sales? I know all the pastors do. You think you're going to find a treasure, and you're going to be a multimillionaire. And sometimes it works out. I've got a couple little things that I'm trying to market right now that I bought at a yard sale. It's kind of interesting to get some piece of junk. And by the way, my grandson, Robbie, I gave him a little roll of pennies. It looked like they were pretty worthless. And so Grandma, for Christmas, gave him a little roll of coin. Didn't look like much to me. I didn't pay very much attention. But as soon as he could, he got on the internet, and he started tracing the value of those coins, and it was getting up to about $60 or $70. And I didn't intend to give him that big an. I could have used that 60 bucks there. And he's probably still got them, hoping that they will go up. He's kind of working the markets all the time. At his age, he's probably going to be a millionaire. I hope he'll build us a new college. He didn't give me my little pennies back, I can tell you that. It's very common to have something in your hand that's very valuable, and yet you don't know how valuable it really is. And we have to be careful how we assess ourselves, because you can over assess your abilities, but you can also, and most likely, most of us probably underestimate what we can accomplish through the touch of God and the hand of God. That's kind of what I want to talk to you about. My wife and I, we met an interesting woman on the way to one of the yard sales. We were stopping up in Upper Peninsula, not the Upper Peninsula, but the northern part of the Lower Peninsula. And this has been several years ago, and we were getting out of the car. And as we got out of the car to go to another one of the, I was a little weary with it, but Sister Mooney seems to never wear out. And she gripes about how long I preach, but she never gripes about how long we shop. There's something not right about that, but, you know, I try to deal with it, you know. Are you married yet? Let me pray for you, Jesus. I'll pray for you twice. You're laughing because you know I'm telling the truth here. Yeah, I'm headed down the right road. That's what I'm headed down. So we get there, and it's good to have, by the way, the Indiana, wonderful Indiana superintendent. I didn't see you until now. God bless you. Good to see you. I love you, man. Thank you for all you do. So we pass this woman. She's sitting out in a lawn chair, and she's a good distance away. Maybe she's like sitting here in the actual rummage sale or whatever it was. And she said, hey, stop. I said, oh, something wrong? She said, no, I'm just aggravated. I'm mad. I said, well, what are you mad at? She said, well, can I tell this story the way it really was? It's going to be a little embarrassing. I hate to use this word, but she was ugly. She was really ugly. And she had a bad attitude. And it looked like she hadn't taken a bath for I don't know how long. I mean, it was gross. And her hair was just about like yours. It was just kind of messed up. Just kidding. Usually when I'm just kind of fooling around like this, it's because I don't know exactly what I'm going to preach. I'm just trying to hoping something will connect here. So there was this lady, and she stopped us, and she's saying, you know why I'm out here like this. I said, no. She said, well, they are throwing me out. I said, well, why is that? That don't seem right. Don't seem fair. And this woman, did I describe how she looked? That's one thing I'll never forget. I mean, it was that bad almost. And so she said, you know what? None of these women want me to go up there because they're afraid I'm going to steal their husbands. They're all jealous of me. This was a mixed-up woman. She didn't have any reason at all to be worried about anybody stealing her away from the other somebody that they had. Your ego can get pretty big. Your evaluations about who you are and what you can do and Your ideas sometimes that you think, well, you know, I'm this and I'm something else and I'm better than, and you're not as smart as I am, and you're not as beautiful as I am, and I can just win any contest. But be careful, because it's common in the human soul and the human nature to over-guess or under-guess. Here's a way my father gave me a lesson that I never forgot. My dad was unique. I'm not trying to grandize him anyway. He was a common man, but he was a gardener. He loved to garden, and we lived on a little farm. He took care. He never really was a farmer, but he took care of farms. He actually worked for the Shirley brothers that became famous morticians here in the city and central part of Indiana, multimillionaire people. And my dad worked for them, the Shirley brothers, and was interesting, and he took care of the cows and other things. And then on the side, my dad would have his garden. He was a gardener. I would say he never had a garden much smaller than this area right through here. That's a pretty good-sized garden. And so we had beans, and we canned all that. It was just a process. My mother, she loved, we always had fresh vegetables and canned vegetables and so forth. You get the picture, just like most Hoosiers. Dad took me out into the patch of growth. It was peas of some kind or beans of some kind. I don't know exactly. But it was a plant. It was growing up. And he brought out a little stool, and he set me on one side of this little plant. And he set me on, and he sat on the other side. And he took his hand, and he started going into the plant. And he would get a little leaf, and he would shake it, and he would move his hand down like this. And as he would do that, he would push these little creatures, these little ants and little bugs, and he would push them off the limbs and off the little places like this, and he would just push them down. And then he had a little handkerchief, a little white cloth of sorts, and he would push those down in there. And then some little things, he would go a little deeper, and he would kind of put his fingernail there, and he would get something that looked like a bump, and it would look like something on the plant, but he would go into it, and all of a sudden the little bump would start moving, because we had ants and we had bugs and we had these little dotty looking things, just a little speck, like somebody had just put a little speck there, and yet if you touched it you could see that it was a creature. He said, how many? By the way, let's just do this. I didn't plan for this, but maybe somebody can look on the internet right now and get this answer. Isn't it amazing? You don't even have to go to the library anymore. Just look it up. So somebody try to see how many, see if you can find this approximately. Maybe you could find somebody that has posted on the internet how many living things are on a leaf, let's say. How many living things are on a leaf. Now, my father was trying to say, well, you just think that that is this, and help me a little bit. You're supposed to be, who's the man sitting next to you? He's not paying any attention to me. We got a good staff, but sometimes Galleon gets a little messed up. I mean, I don't know how to say. Did I say to you, help me up and down in case I, was that you I said that to? Oh, it was you, Henderson. You was jumping up, you was on your way. All right, forgive me. So help me up, back up a little bit. So I have bad knees, so pull me up. It's a lot better than falling, trust me. All right. Now, so we, stay with me. I didn't rehearse this sermon. This could be really, really bad. So my father was, he was very interested in me noticing something, how much life was in this plant. It wasn't just a stalk of beans or whatever it was. It was something else, something beyond what you could even imagine. Now, if somebody found it approximately, my dad made up some number, I can't think of what it was, but he was trying to emphasize that he even took me into the barn later and give me like the second level of the lesson, and we punched into the barn, and we saw all kinds of bugs coming out of the beams and all of that. And my dad had something he wanted to teach me and show me, and I'm sharing it. I've never preached it before. I never thought about it until today. I just thought of it today for some reason. Oh, I know it was a reason. It was a Valentine thing. that I had gotten my wife a couple days ago. And it was on the near the bed, and I saw it, and I, for some reason, thought, I wonder how many bugs are in there. And it all came back. Which is a good time for me to say, most of what you learn at Indiana Bible College, you will forget. Why are you even here? Don't answer that question. This is not a bridal college, but people call it that, IBC. It's just kind of a natural thing. But I promise you that you will not forget what you've learned. You will not forget the lessons. You will not forget the times that God has blessed you, because that is exactly what God does for us. He helps us to understand, to get focused, to get the right ideas. He anoints us so that we can do what must be done, and we cannot do it by ourselves. There's a world that must be reached. In fact, there is a generation coming at us like a speeding bullet, and there's not very many people in this earth that really have an answer to the complex situations that have been created because of the internet and all the ways of modern life that has changed everything. Nothing is the same. Churches are not the same. Even in our apostolic churches, we're seeing revolutions taking place at all levels, and some of it is not good. We're in a very interesting time, and we've got to get focused as to how God works and how God does things. Well, let me just give you the lesson that my father gave to me that I was reminded when I saw the flowers that I had given Mickey. And let's start out with just go, if you would, to, I jotted it down, I hope I can find, Zechariah chapter 4. Chapter 4. Somebody, I need a reader. Zechariah chapter 4. Old-time preachers had readers. That was really good. They didn't have to worry about it very much. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 10. Help me out, Brother Henderson. Have you got it? You're going to go to the microphone? Just shout it out.
For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see.
Now that's enough. Let's not. We can't go into all of this because we don't have time. But look at that. Let us do what? Let us do what about?
For they shall rejoice.
No, something about small things.
Oh, for who hath despised the day of small things?
Now be careful about small things. The idea that my dad got across to me that day was these bugs are significant. Yeah. He took me to the barn and showed me the even the bad things, bad insects, and to the degree that he could understand it scientifically, he would say, you don't ever just think that none of this is important. And it doesn't matter what happens in your life. Don't forget, God is always with you, and God will be with you. And God never, ever just looks at something as insignificant. So I don't understand it scientifically, but they tell me that bugs are very, very vital. That bugs are essential and necessary. And the bugs are not just in this plant, Paulie, he would say. He'd say, Paulie, they're not just bugs. They're more than that. There's something that they do. I don't know what all they do, but there's things they do. Now, I try to kill some of the bugs, but these bugs have all kinds of destinies. Bugs with destinies. Think about that. Why has God created all these bugs? Look at that leaf. How many bugs are on a leaf, approximately? Certain. Did you find it? You haven't found it yet? Did you get it? 3,000 to 5,000 possible bugs on a plant, on a leaf. Climb up in an oak tree and look at an oak leaf, and there may be approximately 5,000 types of living things. What a great God we serve. Now watch this. In Amos 4 and 10, read that again. Who's got it?
For who hath despised the
who is it that would despise things? The day of small things?
For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel.
You can look at small things and small bugs and think it's all bad. But if you really had the same brain and you had the same way of looking at things like scientists do. Like scientists spend time trying to figure out how important. See, your grandson knew that pennies can become dollars. We have students in here who may evaluate themselves as just being worthless or you're not as talented. But God doesn't look at you that way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When God called you, he called you for a reason. And it may be possible you don't look like the same bug next to you. Some of you are, that's true. I'm looking at you now. There's some really bad-looking bugs in here, but you never know. I wish I had somebody to help me preach now. So you wake up every morning and say, God, I'm nothing more than your little bug. And he says, that's all right. Because I got something for you to do. And it's possible, you know, that some things that God has for somebody in this room to do, it's a special thing. And only you have the destiny that was created by God. And it could be something that you will do from a long, long ways from Indiana Bible College. It may be somewhere in Africa, or maybe somewhere in the Philippines or an island, or it may be somewhere in Chicago. It may be somebody that you meet, somebody that you testify to, somebody that you somehow can witness to in a way that no one else can witness. You see, God knows how to deal with your calling, your ministry. He knows where to put you and how to lead you and to guide you. And so be careful now. You may see a student around here and you may say, even sometimes the staff may say, hope not. I don't think we do. We try not to do that. But sometimes we just maybe look at some young man and say, I don't really think he's going to make it. And you better be careful, but he'll be your superintendent someday. And he'll throw you out of the UPC. You go in to meet the board. You got your little kid with you. And all of a sudden you realize it's an IBC student there that you thought was just a little bug. And now he's going to bug you in Jesus' name. He said, oh, yeah, I remember you. I think you know where I'm going. You see how wise my father was.
Yes, sir.
He was trying to tell me true story in the fear of God. He was trying to just what he could say to me as just a common man. And he said, you don't know anything about this. None of us know anything about how this really works. And let's read that verse of scripture. And again, in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 10, despise what?
The day of small things. For who hath despised the day of small things?
Yeah. Why? Don't leave God. Is there a little bit more there?
For they shall rejoice.
They shall rejoice.
And see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel.
Somewhere they'll see the tools and how things come together. We don't have to get real scientific here. We know, you know already what I'm trying to preach and what I feel in my spirit. I want to get across to you that God can make a way for you. And quit judging yourself, quit thinking of yourself as weak. And you, maybe even a pastor could be here, and you're going through a trial. Right. You can go through times when it looks like nothing's going to happen. No one's going to come. No one's going to make a difference. And all of a sudden, somebody steps into your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We couldn't pay the bills in Muskegon, Michigan, a little stretch there. And there was a couple that came into our church, and they sat on those awful theater chairs, and they were broken down chairs. And we had, the place was packed that night. It was jammed. We couldn't have seated any more people. We had about 45 people. And they took a seat, and all of a sudden, I heard this terrible, we had a basement under this old house that was an old house, a little store, and a where they sold coal and stuff like that. It was the office, and that's where our church was, and there we were. And the seats were bad as old theater seats, and they were terrible because if anybody sweat, and the seats would stick to people's clothes, and when people, it was horrible, especially a man with a white shirt, if he sweated a little bit in our church. I never mentioned it to anybody, but big old black spots would be on there where the sticky stuff came off of the chair and stuck on people. It was hard to get visitors in our church in those days. And so we had this couple. They were a oneness couple. And it's a long, long story. Skip all the little details. But they were a brand new couple. and the first time they'd ever been there, and they were sitting, and all of a sudden I heard this crack, pop, crack, and the chairs that they were sitting in began to fall, and they fell through the floor. And all I could see for a second there was them holding onto the seat in front of them to keep from falling into the basement. This is not a good way to recruit new members into your church. You know what I said? I said, well, this was before we got them out. It was just my humorous response was, wow, you're the only people that can leave the church and say, when you went to church, the floor fell through. That was before we got them out. And they were laughing. They thought it was funny. Thank God for humor. So they're laughing that they fell through and we got them out. And what a great, I can't tell you how much money they gave to the church. What a blessing they were. They stayed with us. And it was just a bond and a friendship. God knows how. Don't despise small things. Don't think you got it all figured out. And you can be having chaos all around you. Floor is falling through. Nothing's happening. The church is rotting down. And you think, man, I thought I could take this church. And you've been there for 2 years and nothing's happened. You're out on the evangelistic field and everybody else is just getting revivals everywhere. And you can't get a revival. And you don't know what you're going to do. And you're just starving to death. And you've already checked out everybody in your family, and nobody has any money. Nobody wants to sponsor your ministry. Trust me, you can get there. Can I get a witness, pastors? But just wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God is a provider. God is a way maker. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody make a joyful noise. Do you make a joyful noise? Somebody be glad about it. God's going to make a way for you. God's going to turn on the lights. Hallelujah. Just stay with it. A penny becomes a dollar. Just keep on shaking hands. Keep on preaching. Pretty soon the revival comes. Heaven opens up. God makes a way where you couldn't even find a way. And quit thinking that you're so wonderful and so great. Don't just set out and brag about how beautiful you are. Just go on into the sale and go in and just say, I'm going to live this life. Whatever God has given me, I am going to live this life. And it does work. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me just kind of, I don't even know if I want to stop preaching now. I'm starting to feel better. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. And let's look at, verse number 15. Chapter 40 and verse number 15. Let's take a look at that now. And just kind of think about it. Chapter 40 and verse, well, let's start at verse number 12.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?
Let's go for two or three verses. Just now watch it.
And meted out the heaven
Start at the top again.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?
Who is it that measures the water? Well, we're talking about God. He measures the water. Now, here's something you've got to understand intellectually. You've got to get this. As best as you can, this is vital that you understand. First of all, you cannot possibly figure out all the little things, the small things. Don't even despise the small things in your life. And I can remember so many things when I was at the end of the road, did not know what to do, did not know where I was at, and yet somehow God made a way. And looking back, isn't it wonderful? And Dad would say, I don't know what all these little bugs do, and I don't know where they're important, but they're God's little bugs, and they have a role to play, a role to play. Now watch this. This is powerful. This is a gigantic philosophical truth given to us by the prophet Isaiah. Read.
Who hath measured the waters
now,
in the hollow of his hand?
Who is it that would measure the water? Now, if you wanted to measure the ocean, watch it. Now, if you wanted to measure the ocean, you would not just dip your hands in the water, and you wouldn't be that particular, you wouldn't be that specific. But God measures the ocean down. We could help us with the English here, because This is what it means.
In the hollow of
God
his hand.
God measures it down to the very hollow of his hand. That last scoop, he doesn't quit. He measures the last drop of water in the ocean. That is the God you serve. Am I in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
God measures the ocean in the palm, the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span and
watch it.
He comprehends what?
The dust.
He
of
measures
the earth
dust.
In a
he
measure
talks to dust. He thinks about
yes
dust.
Yes.
I believe that the human race was shaped from
dust. Yes, sir.
The God that can pick up that's dust in his hand. Don't say it's dust. You don't know what this is. This
that's
is a
right
creature. This that's is right a man. In my own image, I'm going to make something in my own image. And that man I'm going to use and I'm going to guide.
Right.
Don't mess with the people I call to preach.
Right.
Now look, this is not an advertisement. This is not, please, just don't take this out of context. I believe in education. I believe that you need to get as much as you possibly can. But your old Aunt Lizzie says, I don't know why you're going to that Bible school. You can't get anything from that Bible school. You need to go to a real school. You want to say, would you just shut your mouth? I don't know why I'm going to school, but I just know God called me into something. God gave me something. And enough said, because I don't want you to take that in the wrong way. Little things. God measures you just right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
He measures what he has in plan for you. Wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord, the strength will come, the power will come. Don't ever get weary. Almost every leaf, according to the scientists, how many million? What was that number again? Oh, 3,000 to 5,000 bugs on a leaf, any kind of possible. What has God planned for you? And you say, well, I'm just a little person. My dad's not a bishop. My father is an alcoholic. My mom, not living for God. But you see, you don't understand how God works. And the world may look at you and call you a loser, but you're not a loser, because the great God is in you and the great God has a mission for you. And God measures you. He takes small measurements. He takes calculated measurements. He don't just say, well, look, that's a dust. That's just dust.
Mm-hmm.
He picks it up, Brother Sleva, in the hollow of his hand, and he doesn't just say, that's just dust. That's the very dust I'm going to use to make a man in the image of myself. Wow. In this room right now, not just the young people, but every pastor, yours truly, every staff member, we're all being shaped. And all of us go through those times that are small times and difficult times when we don't even understand how God works and the money isn't coming and the help isn't coming. But worse than not having any money is when you lose faith and when you lose your understanding and you're thinking, God, this thing is just falling apart. And then the next thing you find, here comes these wonderful people that stay with you, work with you, support you with your tithe and offerings. That woman that fell through would come to me almost, not every Sunday, but she would come to me almost every Sunday and say, is everything all right? Does the church need any money? Oh, we're doing okay. And then she would say, maybe you're not. Here's $1,000. Put it in the treasure. Day, week after week after week after week. Be careful how you measure things. First thing I thought when they were falling through the floor, these people are never coming back. But they came back. And they stayed with me and worked with me and cried with me when we left Mesquite. What a great God. You see these bugs? You see these bugs, Polly? We're trying to kill them, but on this plant, but all these bugs, all these worms, everything. Let's go out to the barn. Let's just see all the bugs out there and the nests and the webs and the spiders. And he was reluctant to kill anything. My father was reluctant to kill anything. But of course, we know that God gives us wisdom as well. Somebody I'm speaking to today, I have no doubt about it. There's somebody here that just needs to understand that there is a period of time, small things, things we don't quite understand. The teacher understands something that we don't understand when we're children. The teacher draws on the board. All right? Make a little stick down this way and a little stick down this way and draw a line in the middle of it. And that's an A. Now let's learn to make a B. And let's learn to make a C. That's really easy. C's really fun. Hope you had a good teacher when you went to school. Maybe your mother, most of the time mothers have already done this. But every scholar knows that scholarship starts with A, B, C. Just like living for God starts with repentance. Repentance of sin. This is why you must defend the faith. You must be careful to preach clearly. Wherever God puts you, you preach this wonderful truth because we have got to have people repenting of their sins. Right. And God will measure us. He measures us in the hollow of his hands. He takes people that you wouldn't even believe. And when that drunk comes in, and Jim, you've had so many people that you've met in jail and so many people that have been on drugs, and you look at it and think, this is impossible. But you see, it to you, it looks impossible, but to God, he measures that man by a different standard, and he sees something that you can't even see, so you just keep on pushing, take him up there and baptize him in Jesus' name, and the next thing you know, you got a new missionary somewhere in Europe that's preaching the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and we've got to have the courage. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter how you're baptized. It doesn't matter if you believe in the value and importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The little thing really matters, to repent of our sins, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall. And when that Holy Ghost comes, you are a new creature. You're a new person. You're an overcomer. And God has victory for your life. Nothing is impossible with God. And it all comes together. It all works together. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And so here's the way it is. You got some smart aleck in school, and because they can sing pretty well, they think, Brother Anderson, they're God's, where's Brother Anderson? He's out praying about the problems right now. And somebody, you think, well, I'm a great singer. There are people that have natural talents, but be careful how you measure things. God uses you just as you are. And you should do the best you can. And you should practice. But at the end of the day, it's not our talent. Let's see, it's not by might. And it's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And how do I measure out things? I put dust. I'm just blown away. I not only measure the waters, I measure dust. I measure dust because it all has a destiny. Dust has a destiny in God's plan. Do you realize how complicated this earth is? We haven't even really gotten into outer space yet. We can't even figure out. Scientists can't really figure out. This world is complex. What a great God we serve. And he's going to be with you. He's going to be with you through everything. He's going to help your brain. He's going to provide your needs. He's going to give you balance. He's going to measure you out. He knows how to take care of you. You start with ABC. You start with three people that you picked up on a bus. You begin to preach a revival, and you don't know how you're going to get to the next revival, and there's no place. Your pastors could tell you stories of how there was those low places and those minor places and those empty places and those times when you couldn't figure out how God could possibly use you. But God had you in the palm of his hand, measuring you, sending you down this road, sending this person to you, putting people into your life. Isn't it amazing how it all works? When we were buying this school and we were working on the new school, trying to raise money, a man just walked up to me. I never would. If you had me guess somebody that might be able to help us with the program, I never would have guessed him. He passed away shortly after this. But he walked up to me and said, "Brother Mooney, here's $250,000. Let's get this thing going." I've never forgotten that. I can still see his face. And I could tell you probably 100 stories if I just sat down. Dad couldn't give me all the scientific efforts, but he just knew something about. And if you know anything about orchards, you know that the bugs have to be in there. Birds, do you realize birds are flying all over the world and dropping seeds in remote places, doing the will of God, just like all of you in this room? How many want God's will in your life? Have I made any sense today? Don't be outside and say, "Well, I'm the best looking person." No, go in and get your hands dirty and be what God is. Quit evaluating yourself. God is measuring you in his own hand, and he will open the door and he will make a way. He'll put your life together and he'll keep you in the right place. Stand with me if you will. Oh, how sweet is our God. What a great God. What a great. We are complete in him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Isaiah 40:15. Read it. Put it back on the screen. Somebody didn't get it. I got to back up just a little bit.
"Behold, the nations are as drops of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance."
Now, wait. There it is. "Behold, the nations are," I've measured the nations, they're like a drop in the bucket, "and are counted as the small dust of the balance." But nevertheless, they're part of the balance. Look at that word balance. "Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. I have to get all this together. Now, if it's possible that God right now today is balancing nations, balancing his will, do you not know that he is balancing your life right now? Your students, you're here. It's not altogether about just being at IBC in a way that we could understand it. This is just where you are. Somehow it's how God got you here. It doesn't have anything to do with any of us, the staff here. It's just God leading you. And it will all come together. And you'll look back and say, I don't know how I got here. I'm in a little church in Muskegon, as I mentioned. I'm riding down the road. I'd already said no. I wasn't interested in coming to Calvary. And I'd met the board and told them no. I just felt. Brother Urshan called and said, "I want you to pray. Just tell me you'll pray one more time. And come up. Talk to them one more time." I said, "Okay." Brother Urshan, was it Brother Urshan that changed my life? I kind of thought it was. But later he told me that I was driving down the road. You know that call I made? He said, it was like something spoke to me. You cannot figure out how things are going to work in your life. Pastors, can I get a witness? Can I get away? Raise up your hand. You know if God has done great things in your life. Your pastors, your leaders, best friend you have on this earth is your pastor. But most of them don't even know how they got where they are. But God carries the load and takes us to the next level. Let's sing.
Take my hands, Lord, take.
Yes.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can.
Thank you for letting me speak to you. Thank you, pastors, for being here. And, we look forward to a great evening tonight. But I think you're going to make an altar call here because I think it'll be a good time to pray.
And I believe we've been challenged by the word. How many would just lift your hands and step out of your seat? Just realizing the power of how God works and leads us and orders our steps. The steps of a righteous man. Come on, I believe what the enemy would like to do is to try to discourage every pastor and pastor's wife. Make you feel as if you are insignificant, that there's no purpose and you might as well walk. But I believe that today God gave a word that his hand is upon you. Come on, there's purpose. Your ministry, if nothing else, the investment of what is here in this altar, the investment of every young person you've ever sent into ministry. Oh, come on, right now, why don't we reach out in the Holy Ghost? Lord, let your spirit, God, let it to move upon us. I pray that we would be encouraged in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you would lift up and give a fresh vision, a new direction. I pray, God, that you would let us to feel that anointing one more time. Lord, to hold on to what you've given us, to never let go, never doubt the plan, the purpose, the path that you put us on. I pray in the name of Jesus, have your way, oh God. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
If you can use it,
oh, Jesus, in your name. Oh, that's it, that's it. Just take my hand, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart,
Lord, speak through me.